Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Kyle Dubas. In his words, facing the music on Tristan Jarry, scanning the interweb, looking around, snooping around, trying to find the Josh Yoeys and Rob Rossies locally, Elliot Friedman, Chris Johnston internationally, the big names in the hockey news world. None of them announcing in the last few minutes that a team has claimed Tristan Jarry. This is what everybody thought would happen. Other teams, the 31 other teams, would look at that contract and collectively say, P.U. Yuck. I want no part of that.
P.U., huh?
Yeah, Stella says that now.
She does? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's got to be funny. And like a very
sing-songy voice. She shakes her hand and says, P.U.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny now. Ace just complete sentences. I want that, you know, like very, talks like an adult. We don't really do baby talk to you. Like we never did a ton of, like, we
goo
never
goo
did.
Goo gaga, no.
Yeah, so like both of the kids didn't talk till they were basically 2 years old, and both just basically once they started, it was in complete, like, fully formed thoughts, which is...
That's pretty cool.
Well, it's cool until they're like, Dad, I want yogurt! And then it's like, I want a pouch! He likes these the pouches, the squeezable yogurts this morning. Chocolate waffles, yogurt pouches, it was ridiculous. That, you know what, speaking of chocolate waffles, they're brown. That's what the doo-doo is the color of that too, Pony. And that's what Tristan Jarry's been. And you know what I hate about this deal? I was thinking about it walking in.
Uh-oh.
You know what bums me out about it more than anything else?
What's that?
What it stands for. And Dubas' clip gets into that a little bit. Like, it alludes to something that bothers me. It's what the deal is all about and, like, what it says about the Penguins. He makes great – he takes great pains there, makes a great effort. Does Dubas to say it was my decision and my alone when we know that that's not the case, that we know that the very powerful and influential head coach still liked the guy when it came time to make a decision on a contract extension. We know also that the ownership group is in thrall with the head coach as well because they're Boston guys, he's a Boston guy, and they just like him. So it's Dubas like falling on a sword that any, you know, somewhat keen observer knows is not his alone to fall on. And then it's this other thing. It's just this idea that because certain guys in the organization just believe in players, in this case Sullivan in Jarry, despite having no evidence to suggest that they should believe in him, that they're just going to go ahead and give him a contract extension like that anyway. Results be damned here. Proof be damned. They've fallen into the, we're the Penguins, we just believe in our own evaluation so much that that's how we're going to roll. Which would be fine if you had continued winning Stanley Cups and getting to conference finals or even winning playoff series, but they're doing things like this against the backdrop of a stretch of play that would get most head coaches fired, Pony.
I always thought the move was Exhibit A for how teams don't know more than fans. And if they had polled fans and said, hey, we're about to sign Tristan Jarry to a five-year extension, do you want us to do it, yes or no? 95 to 100% of Penguins fans would have said no. And so don't always fall for the trap here of, well, the teams know more than us. That's not true. And that's what happened here with Jarry. I heard Donnie last night. And by the way, I thought we were going to have some breaking news, whether it was this, you know, crazy Tristan Jarry claim by a team or something on the Steelers, which maybe we'll still get between now and the end of the show. But I heard Donnie say last night that I think, Donnie, correct me on this, I think your point or take was this is the worst contract in Pittsburgh sports history?
I said one of the worst. I didn't put it at number one because there's always, I think, going to be ones that you could argue are worse. But
what,
I would say as of right now, well, I had a lot of people chime in with Jack Johnson, if you recall, that Penguins won. There are a couple of baseball ones that got thrown in there. Derek Bell was a pretty common answer for people.
Derek Bell wasn't punitive, though. The guy just quit to become a real-life pirate and live on a boat. But it didn't, like...
The Key Brian Hayes deal...
Didn't strangle the...
That one got thrown out there here and there.
I don't think that's actually the worst, but it's like a goofy one. Like, in Pirates world for what they committed to him, it's pretty bad. The bad thing about the Jarry deal, Donnie, it is very close to not even being the worst contract on the team right now. I mean, they gave Ryan Graves a contract, and I'll use this chance since he's here producing on site to give a big shout out to huge New Jersey Devils fan and hockey diehard, gorgeous Charlie Borges, who on the day of the contract signing for Graves,
he made fun of it.
Pony and Pony knows a little bit more about Graves than I do, or did at that point, but we both said to Charlie, well, you're the expert on this guy. Like, is this a good deal? And he just laughed and said, no, he stinks. You're going to hate this deal.
So for the record, I think the Jarry contract is ridiculously bad just because they got all the evidence said don't do, and they did it anyways. Some of these guys that I'm going to throw out there, there was actually reason to think the player could be good. I have 11 contracts written down currently in Pittsburgh sports that are what I would describe as bad deals. So you can tell me how many of these you would rank ahead of Jarry and say that deal's actually worse. I have three Steelers players under consideration. I have Minkah Fitzpatrick, 4 year, $73 million. There's still 2 years left on it at $18 million a clip.
I thought about that. I mean, he's made all pro nods though.
Yeah.
I mean, right now it looks horrible.
He looked all chump against the Ravens.
Strong stuff. All
Didn't
chump.
He?
No, he's looked invisible, and I've seen a growing, I guess, sentiment from the fans who, like, are really hardcore about it, not just more casual, that, like, no, it's really not just the team didn't put him in a position to succeed. He just wasn't good. Like, you can argue about what his role was and whether that's the right way to utilize a guy you're paying that much, but people just said, independent of that, he wasn't good. That's definitely one that needs to be considered.
I don't think he's as bad, but as far as what the player is making, he's making the most of any guy on the list. He's making more than three times more than Jarry, and I get it. It's football. Economics is different than hockey. Patrick Queen, 3 years, $41 million. That's $13 million a year.
You know how I feel about
that. Left on it.
You know how I feel about that one. That one's very bad.
Very bad.
Yeah. I mean, he had
not just plain old bad. You're going to take it up a bad notch.
I gave the signing. I panned the signing when they made it. I said I still felt like there was a body of evidence that supported the idea that he was more a byproduct of Roquan Smith playing next to him than anything. And I think I've been validated in that argument through 1 year. I mean, he's the guy talking at the end of the year about guys getting, like, complacent or comfortable, basically, on the defensive side. And he was the embodiment of it.
I think the Queen deal is worse than Minkah. Because I could see Minkah, if the scheme changes or a coordinator change happens, I'm not holding my breath on these things. But I could see him getting back to really good football. Queen's much younger. He's 25. But I think you took him out of Baltimore, and we discovered he was really a byproduct of just the guy he played next to, which is what you predicted when the signing happened. Larry Ogunjobi, 3 years, $28 million, with another year left on it.
It's more one like
the dude's making over $9 million.
He's not healthy enough, and then isn't making enough plays for me to feel like that one's good. And I wanted to believe it was good because I thought, like, at the time, if you just get this guy physically right, he's going to be a really disruptive player. And it's been a disappointment. I wouldn't put it close to on the level of how frustrated I am by the Queen deal, but it's not a good deal.
I think the Steelers believe that's the worst one because I think they're just going to cut ties with Ogunjobi, with Queen and Minkah. I think both of those guys will be back. They'll hold out hope for them.
I think the Steelers,
I think,
like any
ready
team,
to wash their hands on Ogunjobi.
I think. Don't you think Mike Tomlin, even more than any other coach, hates guys who are hurt? Like the availability stuff?
Well, then why did they re-sign him in the first place? Because he had his previous contract voided and he was did not have a clean bill of health.
I know.
The year before they gave him a long-term
Pony,
deal.
I
actually think when you factor that in, that's the worst one on the Steelers. Because just like Jarry, there were signs and clues that it was a bad idea to invest that amount of money in a player like that, and they still did it anyways.
If the Steelers were to hypothetically give George Pickens $25 to $28 million a year, where would that one slot in?
Probably one for me right now, but that's because I'm in the mood to want to dump on George, and not because of what Michael Brewerly says about me on Twitter. Erik Karlsson, let's transition to the Penguins. How about 2 years, $20 million left on that contract? $10 million a year. Is he even a good defenseman?
Well, he's not
good. Barely.
He's not a good defender. I mean, he's probably, like, it's gotten so heated over him that I think people have gone too far and like just said he objectively sucks in every way. He's still a good play driver, like offensively, but he has made. See, this is the problem with him. You live with the occasional gaffe or irresponsible play. If a guy like Erik Karlsson is controlling hockey games from the blue line by playing 28 minutes and just being impossible, like he did that against the Penguins when he was with the Senators. He basically is the only reason that series went the distance. When the guy is playing like maybe an above average but not even good offensive defenseman, but then just doing some of the most irresponsible stuff on the ice, I almost swore there because it makes me mad when I watch it. Like, just doing some of the most irresponsible things you've ever seen defensively, allowing goals and being a major reason why this team is dead last in goal prevention, dead last in goals allowed in the league, that's a horrible deal.
I think it's actually more punitive than the other two guys. So Graves is, he's the worst player on this list in terms of what you get back. And it's also, there's four more years left on the contract. But grand total, it's $18 million. Karlsson,
I think you got to look at like percentages of the cap.
Right, Karlsson's $10 million a year.
And you were paying him to like reset the clock a few years back on your like window.
And you can't move him. You can't move Graves. You can't move Jari. But at least combined, they eat up less than
The player who was supposed to come in and still be like a normal. I think you're paying $10 million even for a guy at that age, and we know that position, even the way he played it, you can age a little more gracefully, I think, than you can as a forward. You're paying him to still be like Norris adjacent, I think, at that amount of money.